We're going to be based in Luke chapter 19 this morning. If you've got a Bible, why don't you grab it and turn to that part of the Bible right now? That's where we're going to be based for the remainder of this morning's service. So this is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 41.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany and the hill called the Mount of Olives, he said to two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'"
Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it.
This has been part of our Lent series, and we've been looking at this book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And we've arrived at our final week today. So we've not only been encouraging you to read the book, and we've shared thoughts every Sunday as well, but we've also been meeting on a Tuesday on Zoom for a continuing conversation about it. And our final meeting will be this Tuesday at 7:30 on Zoom. And please join it. If you haven't joined it so far, what a great time to join it as we wrap up this particular series and we look at this idea of slowing. Throughout this series, as the book has said, we've been looking at this issue of hurry. And I know a lot of you have a lot to do. It's been a crazy year in so many ways. But I also know that many of you have too much to do. And that's when we get into this issue of hurry, when we have too much to do and too little time to do it. And so this series and this book and our conversations has been trying to unpack, how do we ruthlessly eliminate hurry? What are some of the things we can put in place that will help us just to get hold of this particular issue? That hurry is damaging us. We know that. Hurry is damaging our bodies physically. It's damaging our minds. It's damaging our spirits as well. In fact, right at the very beginning, I think one of the quotes Tom had for us, that hurry is a weapon of the devil. You know, it's one of his tactics that will keep us hurrying so that we don't have time for the most important things in life, where we do find rest for our soul, for our bodies, and for our minds. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about what are some of the practices, some of the habits, some of the disciplines that we could put in place that actually grab hold of this whole issue. They're practices that Jesus put in place as well. And so when we looked at silence and solitude, when we looked at Sabbath, and last week when we looked at simplicity, those are all things that we can see in the life of Jesus. And if I know anything about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple, a learner, it is that we put into practice the things that we see Jesus doing. Today we're going to be looking at slowing, which I think really is the covering for all of those other disciplines. Because if we can't slow down, then silence and solitude and Sabbath and simplicity are going to be way down the line for us and something that we're going to keep chasing and hurrying towards, which isn't really the point, is it? Because when Jesus calls me to follow him, I think what he's saying is, I want you to walk at my pace. You can't follow Jesus and rush on ahead. You know, you've got to literally follow him, to go at his pace. If we're rushing ahead of him, we forget where he's going. We can't see. But if we walk at his pace, side by side, following him, then I think we begin to understand how he wants us to live our lives. And we can say, yeah, but he lived 2,000 years ago. Yes, I know. And life was different. But do you know what? This is a matter of the heart and of the soul that we're dealing with here, and that's what Jesus is an expert about. Now, Jesus, of course, generally walked. He didn't have a lot of choice, did he? But we can see very clearly in the narrative that he was happy to delay his journey, even when his best friend was dying and, in fact, died. He was happy to sit around a table and enjoy the generous hospitality of the people who invited him to sit at home. He fell asleep in a boat when the storm was raging. You know, Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. And as well as those other practices that we've explored, this issue of slowing is, I think, his invitation to all of us, and particularly for our day. This lockdown period may have seemed like it was a slow time, but I think for many of us, we've been gripped by having so much to do. And as we move out of lockdown, this issue is still going to be very prevalent for us and in our lives. But when we submit to his pace, when we surrender to his purposes, then we begin to go at his rhythm, find his pace, and find the pace that I think he wants us to live. It's like a stake in the ground, as we said a few weeks ago, where we find stability, where we find strength, attaching ourselves to him so that we can submit to his will and to his purposes in our lives. Of course, today, speed is seen as an asset in our culture. Everybody wants to do things quicker than they did before. You know, we eat fast food quickly. It doesn't do us much good, but we do that because it's fast food, so therefore we've got to eat it quickly, haven't we? Speed limits are just, well, they seem to be just a suggestion for most drivers that I meet on the road. Well, go at that speed if you really have to, but you know what? It doesn't matter too much. We want next day delivery. In fact, same day delivery would be even better because we're all in a hurry to get what we want. Deadlines move nearer and nearer. And if you're in the workplace, then I'm guessing that the boss always wants the report done yesterday. Today is too slow. So we're all caught up in this because our culture is caught up in this world of hurry. So imagine Palm Sunday, the procession that Jesus undertook if he hadn't been living at this 3-mile-an-hour pace. I wonder what it would have looked like. Well, nobody would have had time for anything if Jesus had rushed into Jerusalem that day, maybe on a galloping horse rather than on a stubborn donkey. But I think he chose a donkey deliberately, not only because it was completely at odds with a Roman general coming back after victory on a horse, showing how great he was, not only because Jesus was saying, I'm a different kind of king, I'm coming humbly on a donkey, but because the pace of that journey gave everyone around him an opportunity to understand why he'd come and how he invited them to live. You know, the Japanese philosopher who coined this phrase, the 3-mile-an-hour god, Koyama, he says, love has its speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we're accustomed. It goes on in the depth of life at 3 miles an hour. It is the speed we walk, and therefore the speed the love of God walks as well. And just think about that. Jesus walks at the speed of love. The 3-mile-an-hour God who walks with love into Jerusalem, knowing what he's about to face, but walking with love to express love in all its fullness on the cross and bursting out of the tomb to welcome us into his presence. So maybe you and I, we could begin to go at a donkey's pace, could we? Now I know, well, Wikipedia tells me that donkeys can run quite fast if they want to, but most times they choose just to be slow. In fact, they're often very stubborn and stop, don't they? So Jesus walks in slowly to Jerusalem. And look what can happen when we are going at this pace. So firstly, we can start singing God's praise when we're walking slowly in God's presence. We can start singing God's praise. At the beginning of our reading, you know, the crowd They got the palm trees down. They started singing God's praise because he was going at such a good, slow pace. And they joined in that pace. They joined it with praise. When we're walking slowly through life, we can start singing God's praises. We get an opportunity to see what God is doing because we're at the same pace as he is. It opens our hearts, it opens our voices to all that we have because we're slowing down to take time to praise him. When we're reading God's word, we're slowing down to read it more. And when we read it more slowly, we begin to praise him for all that he's given us and all that he's done for us. When we slow down our eating, we get an opportunity to savor what God has given us and the joy of those moments around a table as well. So when we slow down, we can start singing God's praise. When we slow down, we can step into God's presence as well. That's what happened in this story that was read for us in Luke chapter 19 and verse 39 and 40. It says here that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Yeah, if we're not prepared to slow down to be in God's presence, Jesus says the stones will do it instead. I don't want the stones to beat me. I want to step into God's presence. I want to slow down long enough to step into God's presence so that I can join the stones in crying out. You know, in Genesis chapter 28, there's the story of Jacob receiving a blessing from his dad, Isaac. And Jacob had received this blessing, and you can read about this blessing, and this blessing seemed to be weighing very heavily on him. This was the blessing. Go at once, to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Go at once. Go in a hurry. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. Now come on, let's get on with it. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. There's so much to do. Come on, let's get on and do it. Go at once. Find a wife. Win every battle. Have many children. Lead the community. That was the blessing. But before anything happened, God made Jacob slow down. And he gave him a dream. It was a dream of angels ascending and descending to heaven on a celestial escalator. And God spoke to him in that dream. And this is what God had to say to him. Yes, you've got loads to do. The blessing is full of things that you have to do. But I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You see the key to all of this? The key to everything that Jacob had to do? God is saying, just slow down. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to do this if you will just let me be part of it. If you will slow down enough and step into my presence, then together, this is all going to happen. And Jacob wakes up, and in Genesis 28:16, he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." See, if we're in too much of a hurry, we're not going to be aware of God's presence. So slow down and step into his presence. Instead of rushing to fulfill our dreams, even God's plans and purposes, which are good, we have to stop and acknowledge he's there, where heaven and earth are connected. Slow down. God is in this place. He's right where you are. So enjoy him and enjoy his presence. And finally, we can share in God's passion when we slow down. When Jesus saw Jerusalem, I'm guessing he saw that it was a busy, rushing place. In fact, what happened next was he went into the temple and he turned over the tables because it was too noisy and the temple had become a den of thieves and robbers rather than a house of prayer, a place of slowing down and connecting with God. And as he saw this from a distance, Luke says he wept. break my heart for what breaks yours. If we don't slow down enough, we're never going to be able to share in God's passion because we'll never see what he wants us to see. He wept because he slowed down and looked. He took action, of course he did, but firstly he shared God's passion. This is what you have to do. Break my heart for what breaks you, God. When we walk at God's pace, we'll share in his passion because we'll see what is happening around us and we'll get involved in bringing his kingdom into the places we live and the people we walk through life with. We slow down. We see it. We weep over it because God is in this place. When we see God's work in the world, then we get to join him in making a difference to it. God's ways take time. So will you take time? Will you slow down? John Mark Comer gives us many practical tips for slowing down in his book. Join the longest queue. Turn your smartphone into a dumb phone. I love that one. Do your emails at a set time rather than just when they come in. Limit your social media. Kill your TV, he says. Goodness me. Journaling. He gives us 20 tips, and we'll talk about those on Tuesday together. But don't get overwhelmed by all those things. Just think about, what can I do to slow down? What one thing could I start putting into place that will help me to slow down so that I can join in God's praises, so that I can step into his presence, so that I can submit myself to his passion? What can I do to slow down my body, my mind, and my soul? When I read my Bible, when I'm out walking, when I'm driving, when I'm eating, when I'm working. Here's a few tips that might help you. Time. Take time to be still. Just breathe. Just listen. Feel your breathing and slow it down. Listen. Listen to other people. Listen to God before you jump in too quickly. Observe what's happening around me. What is God showing me? What can I see? The people, the situations that I'm with. Wonder. Just stop for a moment and just wonder all that God has done. And then engage with it and then respond to it. Slowing down isn't that means that we do nothing. We come out of that place of slowing to respond to what God is doing. So be still, listen, observe, draw into wonder, engage and respond. Why? Why should I slow down? Well, because hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. To live the way of Jesus, slow down. It's not easy in our very urban and digital world, but we can do it. Hurry affects our reactions, doesn't it? If you're in a hurry, you're going to erupt if you are delayed. You're going to erupt at the kids who delay you from getting out of the house. You're going to erupt at your employees who haven't done what you've asked them to do. You're going to erupt at the other car drivers that are there. We know what happens when we're in a hurry. We're going to damage our bodies. Our blood pressure is going to increase. Our heart rate is going to increase. It's not good for our body. It's not good for our mind. It's not good for our soul. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 6:31 says, when he talks about worry, he says, the pagans run after these things. They run after them. There's the contrast. Let's get into the unforced rhythms of God's grace and find rest for our souls. This is the end of our series, our Lent series. And next week we'll be celebrating Easter Sunday, but I don't want us to rush into that. Let's slow down and be part of this Easter journey. It led Jesus to death on a cross and then into resurrection. He had to let go and then he picked back up what God had in store. So maybe you need to put some things down. Maybe there are things you need to die to. And then there's something you need to come alive to pick up, to put into place, a good habit, a good discipline of what God is drawing you to. Slow down. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his love as he causes us to rest in his presence. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the example of how you want us to live. And I pray that you will continue through the presence of your Holy Spirit to teach us more about that and to shape us and mold us into his likeness. May we learn to slow down, to enjoy singing your praises, to come regularly into your presence, and to join you in what breaks your heart as you seek to share love with this world. There may be somebody this morning who wants to start this journey today, and you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus, but do you know what? He is worth following. This Easter week reminds us that he gave his life for you. He hung on a cross so that you might be set free. And so maybe for you this morning, you're just going to say to him, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. And you'll start the most exciting journey that there ever is or ever will be as you begin to walk at the pace of Jesus and learn from him. Jesus, I give you my life. Perhaps if you are a follower of Jesus, it might be a time to just recommit yourself to his call upon your life, to put down what is getting in the way, what is damaging your soul, to die to it, and then to come alive and to follow Jesus at his pace and not at your own. Jesus, thank you that you have shown us what it looks like to follow you. And I pray that you will help us. You will help us to draw into your presence and to know the power of your love in our lives. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And if you want any help on this journey, then please do get in touch with us. You know, no one needs to walk alone. You know, we can walk together. So please, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. Just drop us a line. You know, we want to walk with you. We want to help you, resource you, equip you. If there's any questions, please, please do get in touch. If you've made a decision for Jesus today, let us know and we'll celebrate with you and help you on those next steps. So thank you so much for joining throughout this series, and I pray that you'll continue to know God's presence and power at work in your life.